Good morning.
Good morning.
I love these guys. We are really, really glad that you are here this morning. I hope you have already been made to feel welcome, but we do want to welcome you. If you will remember to grab the pew pad from the end of the pew, if you will fill that out, send it down to the other end, and then tear the page out and set it on the aisle there for our guys to pick up later. Couple of announcements. Wednesday night dinner, due to some logistical issues, we are veering from what has been previously advertised. We will be having barbecue, shredded chicken sandwiches, coleslaw, baked beans, chips, and celebration cake. So be prepared. That's what's for dinner Wednesday night. We will be having children's time this morning. So children, if you'll make your way down during that first hymn, and you will meet not with Jeff, but with Pastor Raymond. We have a couple of upcoming things. It is the first Sunday of Advent. So the next few weeks, as we worship together, we'll be doing a few things kind of out of the normal. Next Sunday morning in 11 o'clock service will be the Christmas cantata. So we invite you to come and to bring a friend. The following week, we will have a combined service at 11 o'clock in here, and that will be our children's Sunday at Advent. And then on the 20th, worship will be led by the handbells and by channels. And so we invite you to come and to bring a friend and as we worship and celebrate Advent together. Krista.
Yes, I just have a few announcements to make. Our associational candle tea is December the 10th at First Baptist Stanleyville at 10 o'clock. A lot of this will be in my column that you'll see in the newsletter if you need some black and white. There, have it in black and white. Also, our caregivers' dinner, we are having one again this year, December the 15th at 5:30. If you're caring for a spouse, a sibling, a mother, father, a friend, and you need some support and just need a little bit of pampering, we invite you to come for this very special dinner, but you need to let me know as soon as you can so we can plan ahead. And there's no cost. It's just to appreciate you. And also, we have Christmas Without Them, December the 20th, led by our staff. And this will be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We come ask you if you've lost a loved one at any point. Doesn't have to be just this year, just any point, and you would like to come. And we'll have a special service just for you. Thank you, Mary.
We do hope that you have been made to feel especially welcome this morning, but we'd like to welcome our visitors. Hopefully you've already given us your information on the pew pads as they came by, but we would love for you to have a little bit of information about College Park and who we are and what God is trying to do in this place. And so we ask if you're a first-time guest or you've not gotten one before, if you just want to just a little bit, you don't have to do this, you can just do it here. Anyway, we would love to give you a little bit of information about College Park. It is the first Sunday of Advent. It gets me excited just to say those words. I wait in anticipation for Advent, which is about waiting in anticipation. But we have coming this morning to light our Advent candle, which is one of our traditions here at College Park. Mark and Julie Simmons.
Isaiah 40:1-5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Our New Testament passage is Romans 15:4-13. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name." Again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." And Isaiah says, "There shall come from the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today we light the candle of hope.
Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we come this morning in hope. Lord, knowing that you are the answer to a broken world. Lord, knowing that you are the source of hope. And so, Lord, we place our trust in you this morning. We rest in the hope that you have under control all the things that we do not. Lord, we rest in the hope that when we are weary, Lord, that you will strengthen us. Lord, we rest in the hope that one day you will come and restore your kingdom. And until that day, Lord, we wait in anticipation. We look to you and we worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing, we now rejoice in Christ. want to invite any other children that are here, if you'd like to come down for children's time. No? Okay. I think this is it, gang. Do you know where Jeff is?
I have no idea.
Disney World? How did he know that? Do you know the word hope? Do you know what the word hope means?
Yeah.
You know what? You hope you need to get a new toy? Okay. You got a lot of things you're hoping for, don't you? You know what I'm hoping for? I'm hoping Jeff brings me some oranges back from Florida. Wouldn't that be good?
I hope he brings us some
everybody?
For our Christmas tree.
You don't have ornaments for your tree?
No. Oh,
okay. Well, I think they'll be up in the next couple weeks. I hope that it's a good time of Christmas here, don't you?
Yeah, I love Christmas.
I do, too. Why do you like Christmas? The presents. What do you hope that you get for Christmas? Surprise you. Oh. You hope to get a
joy rocket.
Okay. What do you hope that Santa brings you for Christmas? Okay. See, we have a lot of things that we hope for. I hope it snows tomorrow so you don't have to go to school. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things that we say, I hope that this happens, or I hope I get that. I hope I get a brand new car for Christmas. I don't think that's going to happen. It's better chance that it'll snow than getting the new car. But there's a lot of things we say we hope for. And when they lit the candle of hope this morning, I'll be honest with you, it really wasn't about us.
It was about the hope of Jesus.
That's exactly right, buddy.
I had a feeling we were going to talk about that.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, the hope of Jesus. Because in the passage of Scripture that they read, Mr. Mark, he read a passage, and it's quoting Isaiah, which is an Old Testament book here, and it's in Romans. It says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will hope in him." Who do you think you're talking about there? Yes, ma'am.
Jesus.
Yeah, they're talking about Jesus. And then in verse 13, Paul goes on and he writes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, and then next week we're going to talk about peace because he talks about peace in verse 13. And we're going to talk about joy because he talks about joy in verse 13. And then we're going to talk about love. And all of these are possible because of Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, like love, joy, peace, praise, and God.
That's right. All the fruits of the Spirit. That's right. And self-control, right? Right. Yeah, I know it. Those are all fruits of the Spirit. Yeah, they are. And faithfulness, that's right. Tell you what, let's do. Let's pray that this Advent season, this Christmas season, we understand what it means to really hope in Jesus, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these children. Thank you for their enthusiasm. Father, for their excitement about being here at church. We pray that you would bless them. And as they learn more about you, Father, that they would grow closer to you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Y'all take care.
So today we light the candle of hope. I'm thankful for my hope in Christ, the assurance of eternity with Him. I was trying to think of an acronym for hope, and this one hit me: Help Our People Everywhere. I saw a news report this past week about Operation Christmas Child, and it featured a young man who was working with the Shoebox Ministry. But his story was that he had been a recipient of a shoebox back in a country across the ocean. He was poor, destitute, and felt hopeless. And he said that that shoebox, that simple shoebox, gave him hope, and it ultimately helped point him to Christ. So I was thinking, in all the commercial aspects of Christmas, we can be challenged, you know, to really honor and respect the true thought of keeping Christ in Christmas. So I was trying to think of some ways, how can we keep Christ in Christmas? And how can we point people towards Christ by giving them hope? We can do things like help the homeless, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, forgive the guilty, welcome the stranger and the unwanted child, help the care for the sick, love your enemies, help people everywhere, help all people everywhere, our people everywhere. And I think that God would say that our people are all people everywhere. All people are God's children. May we pray? God, I thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. The amazing promise that we can have eternity with you. I thank you for the incredible blessings that you bestow upon us here on earth. And I ask that you help us to use these gifts as to how we might be able to help others, that we can give them hope and point them towards you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
So how was your Thanksgiving? Yeah, good. Did you take an opportunity to pause and to truly be thankful? We did too. It was a great Thanksgiving. My parents are here and my children are here. And everything was going smoothly right up to the point where the grand dog got up on the table and ate the apple pie. When we came back from getting Christmas pictures made, my mom said, well, it looks like dessert is cake or cookies because the pie's gone. Well, it wasn't all gone, just most of it. And somehow nobody wanted to eat the rest of it. Go figure. But it was a great, great time of celebration and Thanksgiving. I hope that you have had an opportunity not to miss the occasion to be thankful. Because without a thankful heart, it's really difficult to enter a time of preparation. And it's difficult to have hope. Because truly the Father gives us reason for all of these things that we're talking about. Our sermon today is Hope? No, really. And let me explain that for just a second. Luke chapter 21, if you look at that passage of Scripture, you go, wow, why are we reading that going into Advent? And I'll be honest with you, the last two times that it's come up in the lectionary reading for this Sunday, I've avoided it. I said, no, I'm not going to use that passage of Scripture. But, you know, it was something about it this time when it came up. Comes up every 3 years. I said, I think I'm going to use that. And we'll get to that. I had a lot of help. Dr. Talbert's book, Reading Luke, was particularly helpful. The writings of Nate Winterhoff and Sarah Pearson was very helpful, as well as the Interpreter's Bible, in trying to get a handle on what exactly is going on here in Luke chapter 21. Let's read it together. Just so you'll know, to set it in context, you know I'm big on context. If you go back to the beginning of Luke chapter 21, there's a short little account there of the widow's offering. And then we begin in verse 5, signs of the end of the age. Now, I'm not going to go back and read all of those because that's not our lectionary reading. But understand, that's what we're talking about. Talking about signs of the end of the age. And as Jesus was teaching them, in verse 25 is where our reading starts. It says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint with terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the earth, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great joy. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And then he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation, and there's an alternate translation there, race, if that makes it easy for you to understand, this race, this generation, will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that your word is. Father, thank you for the guide for living that it provides for us. Father, we thank you for the hope that is contained therein. Give our minds clarity, give our hearts sincerity as we receive your teaching today. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, here we are. Here we are again. Welcome to the mad rush of the Christmas shopping season. You know, there's only 27 days left until Christmas. Did you know that? 27 days left. So let's keep the sermon short because we've got a lot to do, don't we? We have a lot to do, and you might as well get started today. Less than 4 weeks away, and we've got family events, we have work parties, we have children's plays, performances coming up, and then there is the cantata next week, right, choir? Yes, don't miss that. The cantata next week. Lots of things getting ready to happen. How are you coming on those decorations? Thankfully, we have ours up at our house, thanks mostly to our daughter Ashton, who took care of that yesterday. How about the Christmas baking? Do you have all of that cooked? How's that Christmas letter coming this year? You know, the one that you write where you update your family and your friends and all the things that happened during the year, and just for good measure, you put a picture of the kids or a picture of the dog or a picture of the kids and the dog or a picture of the grandkids, the kids, and the dog that ate the apple pie. You know, you have all of these things. How is that letter coming? And I know you go, wow, that's a little overwhelming. And I know most of the getting ready for Christmas sermons are supposed to be telling you how you're supposed to kind of get let go of all those responsibilities so that you don't get caught up in the worries of this life, as it said in verse 34 of our reading here, so that you can really enjoy the reason for the season, right? Right? Right, okay, choir's with me. Now, I may be mistaken. It happens a lot already today. It happens. I may be mistaken, but from what I have seen so far, these activities, the letters, the cookies, the shopping, the events, the parties, the cantata, you know, all of that stuff, they are a part of how we get ourselves excited for the holiday, right? It's how we mark Christmas as the special occasion that it is and should be, at least to some degree, right? But here's the rub. Advent isn't just about Christmas preparation. It's not the church's version of party planning. Advent means coming. Coming. And that's what this season is truly all about. We are here not only to prepare for celebrating what God has done in the past through the baby in Bethlehem. We are also here to call for preparation for Jesus coming again. Yeah, that's the reason I said, okay, we'll preach this one this year. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I love his writings. Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminds us in a beautiful writing, and I highly recommend if you don't have a copy of it, it's a little book called The Coming of Jesus Into Our Midst. The Coming of Jesus Into Our Midst. In this writing, he reminds us that God isn't just the adorable, meek baby in the manger. We are also waiting in anticipation for the time when God comes to the earth again to reign in peace and righteousness. Good thoughts. And this thought, this God's coming reign, should be at some level frightening. That's what it says in Scripture. It can be frightening because God's reign means change. And Baptists are afraid of change. People in general, I think, are a little bit frightened about the uncertainty of change. Well, let's look at it. Think in your mind, what do you visualize when I say the second coming of Christ? What do you visualize? Everybody has some sort of concept about what that will be like, don't we? Nod your head. You do. Everybody has some kind. And what is that based on? It's usually based on our life experiences. That could be maybe a movie that we saw that kind of depicted these events, right? Maybe it's a book that we read that kind of described one person's interpretation. Maybe it's a pop song from the 60s or 70s that talked about, you know, Jesus coming back again. You know, maybe it's a sermon that you've heard that talks about it. Maybe it's just wishful thinking. What's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? I think this is part of the reason, because of all these different notions, I think that's part of the reason that we as a society are a little bit confused on the subject, since much of our facts really are more conjecture than they are biblical truth. And you say, Pastor, don't confuse me with the facts. I've got my own opinion of what this is going to look like. Well, may or may not be true. There's also that little deal that we've been told for 2,000 years that it could happen any time now. And it could. It could happen any time now. But let's go back to the imagery thing for just a minute. You see, God's coming again is a serious situation. You say, how so? Well, it is for us, but it's also a very serious consideration for those who've not accepted Him yet. It places a lot of responsibility on us to be faithful to tell the gospel. And our gospel writers follow in the same apocalyptic tradition of early biblical writers. Go back into Daniel, go back into Ezekiel. They follow in this tradition of painting the seriousness with vivid and brutal imagery. Go back in the beginning of this chapter, back in verse 5 and following. There's some pretty brutal imagery there. You see, and because this is part of a genre of apocalyptic writing, I'm personally skeptical about reading these messages like a news report of the future, because that is not the purpose of apocalyptic literature. Apocalyptic literature was not to predict the future so much as it was to offer a framework for hope. Hope. For God's people, hope. For God's people in difficult/impossible times, hope. So, however it will look exactly, the seriousness of God's reign should not be understated or left unsaid as we prepare for Christmas. Because the fulfillment of the first advent is seen ultimately in the second advent. The first advent doesn't give completion until He comes back again. The Jesus that we welcome with lights on trees and gifts for family and friends is Lord. And understand lordship in the biblical sense, not in the Middle Ages sense. Don't think of Jesus as Lord as being something where He puts you under His thumb and uses a system of politics or power that's riddled with sin. That's not what He's about. That's not what His lordship will look like. That's not what He's about. And that means that there's going to be some changes. Some changes when His lordship is fulfilled here. And those changes are going to affect all of us. But it's going to be a glorious time. It really is. At that time, He will rid the world of the consequences of our sin. And when you think about sin, most people say, well, sin is just messing up. It's just not following the Ten Commandments. Jesus really didn't spend a whole lot of time on that. What He did say is, it's about your heart. Yeah, and all of us, whether we think we've kept the Ten Commandments or haven't broken any of them this week, check your heart. Because sin, as Jesus describes it and as I see it, is about when we subtly, gradually begin to promote our interest above the interest of God and our neighbors. Now, how many of us stand sinless before the Father? Yeah. You know, even as good as we think we may be, He's going to show us what real goodness is all about. He's going to show us. Because of His love, His reign will be about pure goodness. You see, Jesus' lordship takes away our lordship. I know that Satan and Jesus both laugh whenever we say, "I've got it under control." The saying, "He's not Lord at all unless He's Lord of all." His lordship takes away ours. And for our mortal minds, for our selfish beings, that can be a little bit unsettling. I understand that. But Jesus' lordship takes away our lordship so it can be a better world. A world that is the creation that it is meant to be. Where you and I are the creatures that we were meant to be. Where there's no more hurt, where there's no more pain. Revelation 21 paints it out there for us. No more hurt, no more pain, no more want, no more need, no more suffering. Where all things are at rest because we're no longer trying to claim lordship or running from those who are trying to claim theirs. Where we're no longer trying to fill the holes in our lives with unhealthy relationships or consumerism or drugs or alcohol or work or so on and so on and so on and so on. Whatever our vice, whatever our coping, whatever our control mechanism may be. Where we're no longer being hurt by others who are filling the holes in their lives with the same fickle, unfaithful stuff. We will no longer be disappointed in one another. Won't that be glorious? No more parents looking at you saying, "Well, dear, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed." Just yell at me, please. don't use the disappointed word. You know, there will be no more disappointment. We will no longer envy one another. We'll no longer be alone. We'll no longer be looking for hope. Because hope will be fully present in person in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And on that final advent, the world will truly be at peace. This is a message of hope. Really. No, really. This is a message of hope. And what better message of hope exists than the same Lord who came as a baby, lived as a teacher healer, died as a suffering servant, and was resurrected as eternal King. The same Lord is coming back to truly make all things new and right and good. Praise be to God, and prepare our hearts for the advents, both of them. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank You. Thank You for the chance to be Your people to worship together. Father, we thank You for the hope that we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. That hope became a man and lived among us and taught us how to live, how to interact with one another, how to interact with You. And Father, that man we know is Your Son, fully God, fully man. Taught us that we have victory over death and now sits at Your side intervening on our behalf. We thank You for that precious gift of Your Son, Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship that gives you hope, peace, joy, love, if you've been looking for substitutes for that, today is your day. Today is the day we can put all that stuff aside and say, "I want a relationship with the God who created me." The Son of God, Jesus Christ, died for you just as He did for me and everyone else here. And He invites you into a relationship with Him. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. I'd be glad to talk with you about how you can know Jesus Christ personally. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but man, somehow in the way, you know, in the hustle and bustle of everything, I've kind of lost my way on this issue of hope and peace. I pray that God has spoken to you today. And as we sing together, I pray that you would take those words and offer up a prayer to God, that He would continue to strengthen you and to make your heart new and to make your heart fresh and excited about serving Him. If you're here and you say, well, I think I'd like to be a member of this church, I highly recommend it. I really do. Been here 20 plus years and excited to be here again tomorrow and next Sunday and the Sunday after that. And there are many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing. Our benediction and the choral response, I invite you, greet one another, encourage one another, offer a word of hope, and be sure and meet our guests and make them feel welcome today. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, an opportunity to worship you, to understand about who you want us to be and who you want us to serve in our lives, Father, that hope, that love, that joy, that peace that only comes from you. Father, we pray our hearts would be fully committed to you and living out who you are in our lives daily. For it's in Jesus' precious name, amen.